Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, good morning. Man, I am so excited to be talking about relationships over the next 5 weeks. It will be 6 weeks because we have Mission Sunday in the middle, but this series will be 5 weeks long, and I'll share, and Pastor Carrie will share, and Pastor Homar will share, so you'll get a good round view of relationships and different helps for that, different techniques to make our marriages strong and healthy, you know. And then I thought, wow, what a perfect time to add in the promo for premarital counseling for everyone who's planning to get married soon. You know, as far as relationships go, let me just give you something right off the bat that will be so helpful just to start us off with today. Three of the best ways to win a fight with your wife. How many guys need this? Here's three of the best ways to win a fight with your wife. The first one is say, "I told you so." I told you so. When you say, "I told you so" in the fight, then she will realize, yes, you were right all along. Why did I doubt you, right? I mean, has anyone tried that? The second one, do this one. Say, "Just calm down." Just calm down. She will immediately realize, "I need to calm down." And then the third one is say, "It's not really a big deal. It's not really a big deal." That's the cousin to stop being so dramatic. Those things will really, no, I'm just kidding. That's, don't trust anything. I saw husbands sweat dripping. Just hearing these words spoken, you're like, what are you doing? Pastor Chris, what are you doing? Don't say that. Your wife's on the front row. What are you, don't pay any attention to any of that. Everything from this point on will be true, though. Everything, the opposite of what I just said is true also. Don't say any of those things ever. We're going to talk about relationships, so I thought it would be good to start off with a picture from my wedding day. We found one picture. Can we put one photo up from, this is from my wedding day. It's the only one we found. It's my favorite. That was my favorite moment of the entire wedding. And that's my memory from the wedding, too. So I would get married all over again just for that moment. But that's a picture of us from March 17th, 1995. So this is our 25th year coming up soon. And I also have on the slides, these are the wedding vows that normally you'll hear. If you've been to a wedding here at IC Medan or heard a wedding in English, this is typically what you will hear, and this is what we would have said that day. "I, Chris, take you, Carrie, to be my wife." I'm not going to stare at you the whole time and make it awkward. "To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer." That's the hardest thing for me to say, and I've been speaking English my whole life. For poorer, that's hard. "In sickness and in health, to love and to cherish with all my heart for as long as we both shall live, according to God's holy scripture, I pledge my faithfulness to you." So if you've been to a wedding, if you use these vows maybe in your wedding, you've heard this before. I mean, this is a powerful moment. It's this pledge, this promise that's being made in the eyes of God. He's watching the entire thing. But there's one part of that that I think often is overlooked. Often we just skim right past. At the moment, maybe because we're nervous. At the moment, maybe because we're thinking about, you know, what's going to happen next. Like, what do we have to say? What do we have to do? But this one thing that's so important and has a huge impact if it's taken seriously, the phrase, "from this day forward." And that's why we're calling this series "From This Day Forward." It's based on a book by Pastor Craig Groeschel called "From This Day Forward." It's about relationships, not just marriage, but focused especially on that. And that whole idea, "from this day forward," Imagine you're standing there with the person that you have fallen in love with, and you've decided, this is who I want to walk with the rest of my days on earth. This is who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And you're standing there, and God is witness of this event, and you're saying these words. And if you take this moment seriously, it's saying, beginning right now. Beginning right now. From this day forward. I thought the title was very relevant, since we just went through a series called One Day. And we've been talking about turning one day into this day. And then the next series is from this day forward. But if we take that serious, when you're standing there and you're making that commitment, it's from this day forward. Did you have any arguments while you were dating? It doesn't matter anymore. Did you make some mistakes while you've been together before the wedding? It doesn't matter. It's okay. I mean, did you say anything wrong? It doesn't matter anymore. Do you have some regrets of something you did in the relationship? It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Nothing before that moment matters, because you're standing there saying, from this day forward, a new beginning, a fresh start. And I believe if many of us took that seriously, we wouldn't go into our marriages still angry about something while we were dating, or still upset about this thing that happened, and still bringing it up constantly. And we bring the past into our present. But if we looked at this and saw it seriously, from this day forward, I'm going to move from this day. It's a decision. It's a choice, a commitment. Craig Rochelle says, the decisions you make today determine the marriage you will have tomorrow. That's true for every single one of us. The decisions we make today, the things we decide to do, the things we decide to say, the way we decide to treat someone, that determines the marriage that we're going to have tomorrow. We set it up for ourselves. What kind of marriage do you want? What kind of marriage are you building? What kind of marriage are you preparing for? So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be working on helping us to make the right decisions. And this is the goal of it. It's that if you're married, you will have the marriage you've always wanted. And if you're single, you'll be preparing to have the marriage that you want in the future. Amen? Are you guys happy about that? How many of you want happy marriages? Strong, healthy marriages? How many single people you're planning to get married someday and you want it to be a good thing, right? All right. I saw some hands go up. Is a great marriage possible? Yes, it's possible. But it's not likely if you do the same things everyone else does. A great marriage is possible for every single one of us, but not if we do the same things that everyone else is doing. I mean, there are many marriages that don't make it, right? I mean, divorce rates go up. Many marriages don't make it. And many marriages that stay together are miserable. Have you ever seen those? I remember with my grandparents, and I don't think they were miserable, but they were from a generation where you didn't get divorced no matter what, you know? Maybe your grandparents were the same, or your great-grandparents. Divorce wasn't something that happened. But you would stay together even if we're miserable till death do us part, you know? And I can remember, you know, seeing them in arguments, and they loved each other. I don't want to say anything bad about my grandparents. But if you've ever seen two people having arguments and fights and they're both wearing hearing aids, like they were, I mean, they would get mad about nothing and they didn't understand, like, what'd you say? I said, where's the newspaper? Where's the remote control? Where'd you put it? You know, it's like, nothing. Like, you're sitting there like, I don't think anyone understands what's being said. I'm the only one that can hear both of you. You know, and I think there was that generation that there's no divorce no matter what. And I think some of us, our parents grew up in a generation where they saw miserable relationships. They saw unhappy people in the marriages at home. They didn't see their mom and dad loving each other. They saw their mom and dad fight. They saw their mom and dad basically staying together like it's a business transaction. Yeah, this is just how we do. This is how we live. And then the next generation comes up and they're like, wow, I'm not going to live miserable. And then the moment, wow, I don't feel happy, I'm out. Wow, the moment you're not satisfying me, I'm out. quickly leaving, quickly getting out, because for them, they decided the worst thing for me would be to stay together like I've seen my whole life and be miserable. And it's sad that in the world, often the choices that are given are be miserable or get divorced. That's not the only options, right? If that were the only options available, that would be sad. The third option is have a great marriage. And it's possible, and it's what God wants for us. So part of my goal is to take divorce out of your vocabulary. So from this moment forward, divorce is not in your vocabulary, okay? It's gone. It's not there. And not only just take divorce out, but I want you to have a happy, fulfilling, healthy marriage. Okay, for single people, repeat after me. My number one priority. It's the only time the single people don't want to be seen. Single people, repeat after me. My number one priority in life is not seeking a partner. It is seeking God. That's your number one priority. That's what messes everything up. Good job, guys. That's your number one priority. You know how things get messed up when you spend your whole time and every moment looking for that person, seeking that person, when your number one priority is seeking him. Seeking him. Two halves don't make a whole. We've said that all the time. In relationships, it doesn't work like that. I mean, if you know if you have a durian and it's cut in half, two halves make a whole durian, but two halves don't make a whole relationship. Two halves don't make a whole marriage. It's two wholes, two whole people coming together. Here's someone, Dr. Les Parrott. He writes materials for marriage counseling and premarital counseling. He says, if you try to build intimacy with another person before you have gotten whole on your own, all your relationships become an attempt to complete yourself. If you get into a relationship before you're whole, what you're doing is you're looking for someone to complete you. Like in the movies, you complete me. You know, if you've seen that movie, you had me at hello, you know. The whole thing, you're looking for someone to complete you. You're looking for someone to make you whole. I mean, when you're not whole yourself and you're hurting and you're not satisfied with life and you feel like, man, if I find that person, everything is going to be great and magical. I'm going to be whole. Rainbows are going to be over me everywhere I go. Unicorns flying around and birds chirping, landing on my shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah. It's just like, that's how life. Because suddenly this person came into my life and made me whole. But it doesn't work out that way. Only God can complete you. Only God can make you whole. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So we are complete through Jesus. We find our wholeness through Jesus, not in any man, not in any woman. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24, it says, may God himself, the God who makes everything whole, holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Man, I love that. There's God that makes us holy and whole. It's God. That's no one can bring you that. No one can make you whole. No one can make you complete. And if you aren't whole when you're looking for that relationship to make you whole, you're going to realize pretty quickly they're not giving me what I've been looking for. And they're not fulfilling the things. I thought this was the answer to everything. Imagine you get in this relationship. You really like this person. And you get in this relationship and you think this is going to fix everything. They're going to bring everything I need into my life. And then when they can't give you what they don't have, the relationship goes bad. When they can't take away the things that they have no power over, when they can't heal your wounds, the relationship goes bad. You find someone that you're hoping will give you everything you need, and when they can't, man, then you're upset. The problem is we're expecting to find a person to do for us what only God can do. And then we resent the person for not being God, right? Wow, we resent them. Wow, you didn't complete me. You didn't heal all my hurts. You didn't take away my pain. You didn't make my dreams come true. You didn't bring me a happily ever after. And then you resent that person for not being God in your life, basically, right? And why didn't you bring all of this? Now I'm still unhappy. I'm still unfulfilled. I'm still dissatisfied with life, and it's all your fault, right? You're the reason I'm not who I am. You're the reason I'm not who I'm supposed to be. You're the reason I'm not where I'm supposed to be. If we put all of this on this other person, it's like we're putting this God-like power on them. You had the power to make me who I'm supposed to be and make me whole, and you failed at it. It's sort of like idolatry. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." You know, we know idolatry is chasing after or worshiping another god, seeking another god, or seeking or worshiping anything as God above God. Anything we put there is an idol. But I think also when we put that kind of power and authority in another person's hands, hey, you are responsible for my happiness for the rest of my life. Hey, that's a form of idolatry. Hey, you have the power over my emotions. You have the power over my feelings. Nobody should have that power over us. If you've given that power to someone in your life, that person has become an idol. And it doesn't mean you need to violently knock them out of their place. It means you need to humbly lift God up to his place. Say, "God, I've been doing this wrong. I've been looking at this person to complete me, and I hate him because he hasn't. I resent her because she hasn't. But God, it's me that's been wrong, so I'm going to lower him down to number two. I'm going to move her down to number two, and I'm going to put you up as number one where you should always have been, and I'm going to look to you to make me whole. I'm going to look to you to satisfy me in life. I'm going to look to you to give me purpose and meaning." God knows that if we put him first, all of our relationships will be better. Not just our marriages. If God is first, every relationship will be better. Because our focus has changed. We understand the greatest commandments, love God and love people. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, it really talks a lot about changing our focus. These verses say, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Can we put this first graphic up, media team? We have a couple of graphics. Okay, this is something I was so happy the media team could make this for us. This is what it looks like when your focus is off. I mean, the main word here that is focus and highlighted is the negative. If your focus is on negative things, God's blurred out. Your focus isn't God. When you focus on the negative things, you see complaints and lies and frustrations and disappointments. If you're ever in life where it feels like every day it's a complaint and it's a frustration and it's a disappointment and everything's negative and there's all the pain and that's all you see every day and it's all you experience every day, if it's all you see in your marriage and it's all you see in your kids and it's all you experience at work, it means you need to change your focus. Because when you're focused right here, it's going to highlight all of those negative things. But if you change your focus and put your focus on God, let's look at the next slide. It changes everything. Then you have that Philippians focus. Your focus is on God. Then it's whatever is pure and noble and right and admirable and lovely and praiseworthy. When your focus is on God, these are the things you see around you. This is what you experience. You're able to see the lovely things in this world. But you're able to see the beautiful things where you are. You're able to love the city where you're placed. Man, I love Maidan. I love it. This is where God has me. And when you're focused on God and you know God put me here, man, you start seeing this. In your marriage, when you're focused on God, you see the positive and the lovely and the beautiful and the pure. But here's the thing. The negative is still there. Sometimes we misunderstand and we think, man, if I start following God, all that negative is going to go away. The pain will be gone. I'll never have frustrations. I'll never have disappointments. No, they're still going to be there. They're just not your focus. So they don't distract you so much. I still have some pain, but man, I'm focused on God. I don't really feel that as much anymore. I still get disappointed sometimes, but my focus is on God. The disappointments are over here. They don't really even impact me. A friend of mine this week was sharing something about the blinders that horses wear. Have you ever seen those, like in horse races? They have blinders on each side of their face. It's so they can run fast at their goal. It's so they keep focused because they know that, man, the horse is going to be distracted by something to the left or to the right. This is the same for us. We're going to be distracted by those things to the left and to the right if we don't keep our focus on God. If we don't do like Paul was saying to the Philippians, hey, here's the things you need to think about. Put these blinders on. Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy. Whatever is beautiful, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is admirable, and you're able to keep focus because my focus is on God and the negative doesn't distract me anymore. I used to be a very negative, depressed person when I was younger. In high school, I was on Xanax every day. I was on antidepressants. I don't have that problem anymore. And I'm not on medication. I'm not saying people don't need that sometimes. But I changed my focus. And since my focus is on God, how will that change your marriage? Guys, if you come home from work and your focus is on God, what are you going to see different at home? I mean, sometimes if you're like me, the old me, I'm kind of OCD. The old me, I could walk into the house and all I notice is the toy that's out of place on the floor. Anyone else like that? Anyone want to confess? You know, imagine you come home, your wife's there waiting on you, your beautiful children are there waiting on you. Imagine on the other side if everyone was waiting, happy to see you, and you come through the door and you look past all of them and say, what's this? What's that doing there? Man, imagine how the mood is killed. I mean, after a little bit of that, you have to wonder, are they happy to see me anymore? Or are they scared? Dad's coming home. Dad's coming home. Get everything ready. Are they nervous? What's it going to be like today? Is he going to care that I'm sitting here, or is he going to see that something's wrong? Is he going to go focus straight on the negative? Man, it's something for all of us. I'm picking on the guys a little bit because I am one, right? But I've been there before. But what if we change our focus and we focus on God? What will that do in our marriages? When you come home, what you're looking for is your wife. She's all you're looking for. You come home, there she is. Man, you're happy. You run up. Maybe you get a kiss like the wedding day kiss. What if you had that every day? You'd come home earlier too. And then after that, you go and see your kids. I mean, the focus, everything just changes. So we're going to talk about things like this over the next 5 weeks. So I'm going to ask us to make a commitment. So this is for the husbands and wives. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. We commit to seek God, fight fair, have fun. The guys got louder. I heard louder guys on have fun. Stay pure, never give up. All right, now this is for the singles, because this is for relationships. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. We commit to seek God, fight fair, have fun. That should be slashed out. I slashed it out in my notes. I slashed it out of my notes. Number four, stay pure. Number five, stay pure. Number six, stay pure. Number seven, stay pure. Number eight, okay, you see where I'm going there. That's the commitment we've made for the next 5 weeks. And so today the focus is on seeking God. Seeking God. The very beginning of a healthy, strong marriage is two people seeking God. That's the beginning of all of it. It starts with changing your focus. My focus is on God first. Man, how can I have a... It's confusing because we think, how can I have a great relationship with this person? It's putting my focus on them. No. If you want to have a great relationship, you put your focus on God first. Your focus. Your focus. Man, I can remember... This is part of why it should be like that. For one, if husbands are focused on God, they're going to treat their wives right. Amen? If wives are focused on God, they're going to treat their husbands right. If you're focused on God, you're not going to put so much pressure on each other to be God in your life. I can remember thinking about this idea, and let me just share this with you, and this helps the guys in the room. Ladies, we are extremely sensitive. Guys are sensitive, right, guys? Someone have my back. Come on. Yes. We're sensitive. Our feelings get hurt easily. We are not the confident, secure, strong men that you see. We want you to see that. But it doesn't take very much to break us. We're hiding it because we're trying to be strong for the people around us. We want to be strong for our wives. We want to be strong for our kids. Hey, when we cry alone in the bathroom. We cry alone in the car driving. Come on, guys. Someone stay with me. You may be like, I've never seen my husband cry. He cries. It's alone away from you because he's wanting you to see, hey, I can handle everything. I can be that. I mean, we're not trying to be an idol, but we're trying to say, hey, I can take care of everything. And after a while, that pressure, man, it builds up. It builds up. I was thinking about the song we sang. I was looking up. I wasn't texting if you saw me on my phone earlier. I was looking for the lyrics. I mean, as guys, this we want our wife to be singing this to us. In your heart, I'm found. I want you. I want you. Well, if your wife comes home singing that, you're like, that's great. But the next part, you won't let me down. You got me. You got me. Man, that's that crushing weight. And as guys, we want to carry it. As guys, we want to be able to say, hey, I won't let you down. I got you. I got you. Don't worry. I got this. And there's things we don't got, guys, right? There's answers that we don't have to some questions. I was thinking about this, and I remember a time in our life, we were under some pressure and some stress, and it was heavy. And I remember, I try not to show it. I'm trying not to look like it's affecting me. I know it's affecting my wife, and she talks to me one day, and she basically comes to me looking for answers, and I didn't have them. She was coming to me saying, hey, I can't carry this weight. I can't carry it, and I feel like at the moment I'm saying, hey, I can't carry it for us either. And I remember this moment we were standing in the bedroom and she came looking for the answers and talking about this heavy weight. And man, I broke. It was one of those moments I couldn't get out of the room first. Hang on a second, I'll be back. No, I was right there in front of her. Man, I broke. I was like, I feel it too. I can't carry it. And I remember we just hugged each other and cried. Man, it was such a good feeling. It was a moment where we realized she can't be God for me and I can't be God for her. And we need to seek the one who has the answers. Man, we just cried. It felt good. It's awkward afterwards. You know, when the tears are gone, like, do you want to go get a coffee or something? You know, guys, once we let it out, it's no coming back. Yeah, with cream and sugar. Once it's gone, it's gone. But man, it felt so good because the pressure wasn't on me anymore. Then we started both seeking God for the answers. Can I tell you, men, when you realize you cannot be God for her, you will seek God. When you realize, I don't got this, hey, I'm going to let you down. I can't carry this weight. When you realize you can't be God for her, you will see God. And ladies, when you realize he cannot be God for you, no man can be God for you. No man is at some time or another not going to disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. He can carry those weights. When we try to carry it, it is crushing. So the point number one today is let God be your one and your spouse be your two. Let God be your one and your spouse be your two. It is very specific how things work. The order matters. The priorities matter. It's not let God be your one and your kids be your two. And then your husband is three, four, or five. It doesn't work that way. It's let God be your one and let your spouse be your two. What is your heart desires in life? We talked about some of that last week. What are you chasing after? What do you want your marriage to look like? What do you want your kids to be like? What are the things that you want in this life? What do you want your relationships to be like? Don't seek those things. Seek God first. Put God first. Hey, you know how I'm going to have great relationships? I'm going to seek God. You know how I'm going to keep a great marriage? I'm going to seek God. We're going to seek God. We're going to see a great marriage. If you're not married yet, here's what I would say. This is your response. I will seek the one while preparing for my two. That's how you do it. Hey, I'm going to keep seeking the one and preparing for my two. Then when I find that guy, I'm whole. When I find that girl, I'm whole. I'm going to seek my one while preparing for my two. And married people, I will seek the one with my two. We're going to seek him together. If you make that commitment over these next 5 weeks, the seeking God, it's not I will seek him alone. We will seek God together. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, David gives some words to his son Solomon. And he says, Solomon, my son, get to know the God of your fathers. Worship and serve him with a clean heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will permanently throw you aside. So what's he telling Solomon? He's saying, hey, worship him. Serve him. Hey, if we're going to seek God, worship him. Serve him. Keep your heart clean. Your mind willing, meaning your mind is focused. If you seek him, you will find him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, if you seek him, you will find him when you search for him with all your heart. The second point is this, seek the one with your two. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it's often a verse that we like to pray. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How does that work in our marriages? How does that work in our relationships? Humble yourself. Pray. Seek God. Turn from the things you've been doing wrong all along. Turn from those things. Seeking God together. How do we seek him together? Here's homework for all the couples. And this is homework for us too, because some of this is difficult for me. Number one, pray together. Pray together. For some couples, that's difficult. I'll confess, sometimes that one's hard for me. Pastor Kerry is a prayer warrior. And I don't feel like I have that. So when we're praying, sometimes it's a little intimidating for me. You know? You want to say the right things. You're like, what? Big theological word, can I pray right now? But when you pray together, here's some advice. Keep it short. You don't have to say, me and my wife, we commit, we're going to start praying together tomorrow, 1 hour. Don't do that, guys. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Unless you're already doing that, then fine. But keep it short. Keep it simple. You don't need any these or thous or arts or holiest. You know, speak like you speak. Keep it consistent. If you miss a day, don't miss two. That's how you do it. Keep it simple like that. The second thing, is read God's word together. Maybe a verse a day and discuss it. Maybe start doing a couple's devotion together. I mean, this is building a strong and healthy marriage. These are things all of us can do. All of us can do these things. Worship together. Sit together and worship together at church. It's good that your number two sees you worshiping the one. It's good that your two sees you worshiping the one. Create your own spiritual traditions. That's something you can do at home, but your prayer times, your devotion times, fasting together as a family, whatever it is, the things you want to build and say, hey, this is what our family is all about. This is what we do. Hey, we fast at this time. We're in church at this time. And we worship. We have devotion. The last one is do life with God. Walk with God daily. If you are seeking Him, it's daily. You can't just seek Him on Sundays. You can't walk with God just on Sunday and that have an impact on your marriage. It's got to be doing life with God. And the good news for everyone today is that Jesus provides an opportunity for every single person, for marriages, family relationships, for your own personal life. Everyone here today has this opportunity that we can move ahead from this day forward. Every single one of us. It's not just about marriages. The relationship with God, if you feel like you've failed Him or disappointed, or maybe you haven't been walking with Him right, or you haven't been living right, maybe it's something in your marriage, maybe it's not. You can say, Jesus, today I want to start from this day forward. I give you my heart. From this day forward, every single one of us have this opportunity. We can move from this point. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Give Him your life. Give Him your marriage. Give Him your kids. Give Him your career, your finances, your future. Man, He can handle it. He can carry it. He can carry your marriages. He can carry those relationships. Even things in your past that have been hurting you since your childhood. You know, when I was preparing this week, I really felt like God was speaking to me about that. The whole idea of starting from this day forward, it means you can finally let the past go. You can finally let yesterday's pain go. And I believe some of you have so much pain from your past in your present that you have no hope for the future. Because you're carrying so much pain. You let too much of the past in the present and you have no hope for the future. When we talk to God and we say, God, can Jesus help me move from this day forward? And He gives us that. All of that can be gone. You can be healed from all the hurts, all the pain. You've allowed the past to hold you back too long. You've allowed that thing that happened years ago to cause pain for far too long. It's time to let it go and say, from this day forward, brand new, a new beginning, a refocus, a time to be free. Would you stand with me, please? When I was thinking about this and thinking about our marriage, you know, me and Pastor Carrie have the time in our life that I could refer to as BC, like before Christ. Man, we hurt each other. If you knew the old me, you wouldn't like me. We hurt each other. We caused a lot of pain through the years of dating and that first year of marriage when we were just messing everything up. So much pain, so much hurt on both sides. And somehow when God saved us and He brought our marriage back together, somehow He gave us the wisdom to realize this is from this day forward. And I'll tell you, man, and we both cause a lot of pain, but for almost 25 years, we've never talked about it. We've never brought it up and had fights. We don't have fights about Chris and Carrie BC, you know? We don't have arguments. We don't bring things up. Hey, you remember that first year? It's not like a stone to throw. Somehow we had this wisdom from this day forward, and it's only from God. We never fight about the past. We never talk about the past. We took divorce out of our vocabulary. I mean, it's never, after that first year of marriage, for 24 years now, that's never been brought up. I'll just leave. Hey, maybe we should get a divorce. The weapons we use in our fighting. Next week is about fight fair. So that's going to be good for us. We've never used those things. So I want to encourage everyone today, from this day forward, let things be new.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.